job and not one raise in pay. Now she's in the typing pool at minimum wage. Everything runs right on time. Years of practice and design. Spin and polish till it shines. He thinks he'll keep her. Everything is so benign. The safest place you'll ever find. At least until you change your mind.
Country 1430 AM stereo, WRDN, Durand, Downsville, Pepin, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Thousands of football fans descending upon Las Vegas this Super Bowl Sunday. ABC's Alex Stone is there.
It's a sea of red here today. All the Chiefs and 49ers jerseys in their respective shades of red. After 2 weeks of buildup with events here in Las Vegas, really a year of buildup locally since the end of the last Super Bowl in Arizona, they are ready to go. Security is tight. Fans getting ready to go into Allegiant Stadium this afternoon. Alex Stone, ABC Sports, Las Vegas.
Rallying in South Carolina, GOP presidential frontrunner Donald Trump saying if he returns to the White House, he'd encourage Russia to attack NATO allies who don't pay their bills. The NTSB and FAA now investigating after the helicopter went down in California, the Nevada border south-southwest of Las Vegas. All six on board killed. U.S. Central Command says its forces conducted several self-defense strikes Saturday, hitting two unmanned surface vessels and three mobile anti-ship cruise missiles in the Houthi-controlled areas of Yemen. This is ABC News. An Oklahoma judge is stepping down days before she was set to go on trial in a special court, accused of sending hundreds of text messages to her bailiff while presiding over a murder trial involving the death of a toddler. ABC's Jacqueline Lee reports.
District Judge Tracy Soderstrom, who was suspended with pay, now stepping down after only a year on the bench. In October, the Chief Justice recommended Soderstrom be removed following an investigation that found she exchanged more than 500 texts and emojis with a bailiff, including, "This is dumb," during the state's direct examination of a witness. Soderstrom was presiding over the trial of a man convicted last June of second-degree manslaughter in the death of his girlfriend's 2-year-old son.
Authorities in Tennessee are intensifying their search for the suspect accused of killing one officer and wounding another during a traffic stop. The suspect's brother and girlfriend are under arrest. Both have been charged with being accessories after the fact. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Getting your biggest tax refund from Jackson Hewitt can lead to some spirited reactions.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Jackson Hewitt is so sure that you'll get your biggest refund that if they don't, you get your money back plus $100.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
And Jackson Hewitt also guarantees the accuracy of your return for life.
Hewitt, yeah!
So don't just sit there. For your biggest refund guaranteed, walk into a Jackson Hewitt today and dance out Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead. With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone.
So what if I need a new one?
No problem. We have the right battery for your car, starting at only
$89.99. Get in zone.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Planning for retirement and your family's future should not keep you up at night. I'm Tyler Schroyer of Heike Wealth Management. From Roth IRAs and 401k rollovers to life insurance needs and purchasing CDs, I strive to add value to your financial and retirement picture. Visit HeikeWealthManagement.com or stop at my office on 3rd Avenue West in Durand to schedule an appointment. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance offered through Heike Wealth Management, LLC, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial Services.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and some flurries will give way to gradual clearing with highs in the lower 40s, light west winds. Overnight, we'll see partly cloudy skies in mid-20s. More sunshine on the way for Monday. Highs once again in the lower 40s with a northwest wind. Do you need help with back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. It's 27 at our studios.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
Don't rock the jukebox. Want to hear some Jones. 'Cause my heart ain't ready for the Rolling Stones. I don't feel like rocking since my baby's gone. So don't rock the jukebox. Play me a country song. Before you drop that quarter, keep one thing in mind. You got a heartbroken hillbilly standing here in line. I've been down and lonely ever since she left. Before you punch that number, could I make one request? Don't rock the jukebox. Wanna hear some Jones? 'Cause my heart ain't ready for the Rolling Stones. I don't feel like rocking since my baby's gone. So don't rock the jukebox. Play me a country song. Ain't got nothing against rock and roll, but when your heart's been broken, you need a song that's slow. There ain't nothing like a steel guitar drown a memory. Before you spend your money, baby, play a song for me. And don't rock the jukebox. Wanna hear George Jones? 'Cause my heart ain't ready for the Rolling Stones. I don't feel like rocking since my baby's gone. So don't rock the jukebox. Play me a country song. Yeah, don't rock the jukebox. Play me a country song.
Super Bowl Sunday, Alan Jackson there. Coming up, Blake Shelton, Tracy Lawrence. Where the wild things are, here's the latest from Luke Combs.
My big brother rode an Indian scout. He was black like his jacket. American spirit hanging out of his mouth. Just like our daddy. He kick-started that bike one night and mama's heart. He pointed that headlight west, out where the wild things are. He'd call me up every couple of weeks from South California. Talk about the desert and the Joshua tree, his pretty girl stories, and how he bought it. Stream trailer and a J45 guitar. Said, little brother, you love it out here, out where the wild things are. Oh, his heart's on fire and crazy dreams. Oh, the nights ignite. I called my brother from the back of that plane the second I made it. We started drinking on the strip in L.A. And then it got crazy. Ended up at a house in the puts hearts on fire and crazy dreams. Oh, and the night sings out like gasoline. Oh, man, they need scouts, man, they're built for speed. And oh, they said he hit that guardrail at 3:30. Lit up those streets to never sleep when the sky goes dark. Where the wild things are.
Tell someone you know about us. We're Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN.
Sister cries out from her baby bed. Brother runs in, feathers on his head. Mama's in her room, learning how to sew. Daddy's drinking beer, listening to the radio. Hank Williams sings for Elijah and dear John. And time marches on. Time marches on. Sister's using rouge and clear complexion soap. Brother's wearing beads and he smokes a lot of dope. Mama is depressed, barely makes a sound. Daddy's got a girlfriend in another town. Bob Dylan sings like a rolling stone. And time marches on. Time marches on. South moves north, north moves south. A star is born, a star burns out. The only thing that stays the same is everything changes, everything changes. Sister calls herself a sexy grandma. Brother's on a diet high cholesterol. Mama's out of touch with reality. Daddy's in the ground beneath the maple tree. As the angels sing an old Hank Williams song. Time marches on. Time marches on. Time marches on. Marches on. Time marches on.
We got you covered from Dell to Dawn to Dixie on My Mind. Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN.
Well, I caught my wife with another man, and it cost me 99. On a prison farm in Georgia, close to the Florida line. Well, I've been here for 2 long years. I finally made the warden my friend. And so he sentenced me to a life of ease. taking care of old Red. Now old Red, he's the damnedest dog that I've ever seen. Got a nose that can smell a two-day trail. He's a four-legged tracking machine. You can consider yourself mighty lucky to get past the gators and the quicksand beds. But all these years that I've been here, ain't nobody got past Red. And the warden sang, come on somebody, why don't you run? Old Red's itching to have a little fun. Get my lantern, get my gun. Red'll have you treat for the morning come. Well, I paid off the guard and I slipped out a letter to my cousin up in Tennessee. On he brought down a blue tick hound. She was pretty as she could be. Well, they pinned her up in the swampland about a mile just south of the gate. And I'd take old Red for his evening run. I'd just drop him off and wait. And the warden sang, come on somebody, why don't you run? Old Red's itching to have a little fun. Get my lantern, get my gun. Red'll have you treat for the morning come. Now old Red got real used to seeing is a lady every night. And so I kept him away for 3 or 4 days and waited till the time got right. Well, I made my run with the evening sun and I smiled when I heard him turn red out. 'Cause I was headed north to Tennessee and old Red was headed south. And the warden sang, somebody, why don't you run? Old Red's itching to have a little fun. Get my lantern, get my gun. Red'll have you treat for the morning come. Now there's red-haired blue ticks all in the south. Love got me in here and love got me out.
Blake Shelton and Old Red here on Super Bowl Sunday. I feel well, here we go for Super Bowl Sunday. Some Super Bowl 58 by the numbers. For example, 1.45 billion chicken wings will be eaten on Super Bowl Sunday. Wow. Let's see here. $10,700, the average price of a ticket on the resale market. Can you imagine dropping $10K to get a nosebleed seat, probably. There's a 35% increase in pizza orders on Sunday. 18.8 million. Number of people who will miss work the day after Super Bowl, resulting in $9 billion in lost productivity. See, there's that certain segment of the population wanted to make the Super Bowl a Saturday night thing instead of Sunday so they can recoup all day Sunday. And finally, 1.3 billion, with a B, amount of money that will be legally wagered on the game. Who you picking? Do you care?
Have your Wi-Fi devices multiplied like rabbits? It's time to get them hopping with Smart Home Wi-Fi from 24/7 and West Wisconsin Telecom. Devices and bandwidth can be hard to manage, but with the help of their local team, together they can keep you connected. Call 24/7 and West Wisconsin Telecom at 231-2000, and they'll get your family and all their devices connected. Get full details at wwt.net.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
O'Galley Cheese is a home of award-winning Parmesan and Asiago cheeses. O'Galley Cheese starts with a high-quality milk from local dairy farms, all located within 25 miles of Durand. Stop in at the O'Galley Cheese Store during FFA Week, February 17th through the 24th, for a dollar off per pound of O'Galley's plain cheddar cheese curds. O'Galley Cheese, located 2 miles north of Durand on Highway 25. Open 7 days a week. Offer valid in-store and online for orders placed during FFA Week.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Annabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
Three little words no parent wants to hear.
My tummy hurts.
And it always seems to happen at the worst times. Like in the middle of the morning rush, when you still have homework to check and lunches to pack, and of course, you're already late for work. Luckily, there's Pepto-Kids. Pepto-Kids gummies help relieve occasional stomach upsets, turning those three words into these three words.
I feel better.
Bad time for stomach upsets? Good time for Pepto-Kids gummies. Fast support for little tummies.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This year, Dell Technologies wants to help you do amazing things with their best tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs, like the XPS 13 Plus, powered by Intel Core processors, and more. Plus, curate your dream setup with great deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to leading-edge technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Again, that's Dell.com/deals.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
I love a first cast when the water's glass and the line starts to run. Well, that first sip of a cold beer when the working week's done. I love a twilight in the morning before the day wakes up. Well, the window's down on a first ride in a paid-up truck. And I love a slow down in a beach town with an ocean view. And I love a first fall Saturday trip down to Baton Rouge. And I love a sixth string with the stars out and a campfire glow. Girl, that don't even come close to the way that it feels when you lean in and kiss me. The way that you dance when you get kind of tipsy. I'm wrapped around your finger like this ring I'm wearing. That look in your eye, girl, when you catch me staring. And I don't even know what it is, but now that I found it, I can't imagine me living without this. Back 40 view on our piece of ground, watching you watch the sun going down. That's what my world spins around. Well, I finally get it now when they say you know, you know. And yeah, girl, you had me from that first hello. And the only thing better is heaven above. But until I get there, I'll never get enough of the way that it feels when you lean in and kiss me. The way that you dance when you get kind of tipsy. I'm wrapped around your finger like this ring I'm wearing. That look. What my world spins around. What my world spins around. Oh yeah. The way that it feels when you lean in and kiss me. The way that you dance when you get kind of tipsy. And I'm wrapped around your finger. This ring I'm wearing, that look in your eye, girl, when you catch me staring. I don't even know what it is, but now that I found it, I can't imagine me living without this. Back 40 view on our peace and ground, watching you watch the sun going down. That's what my world spins around. You're what my world spins around. What my world spins around.
here for you 24-7. We're Real Country.
Real Country.
1430 AM and 107.3 FM. WRDN.
Sign for the Mason Dixon, working, spitting, hunting, fishing, stone cold country by the grace of God. I was gassing up the other day, an old boy pulled up with a license plate from Ohio. Thought, oh good Lord, he's lost. From his Wrangler to his boots, he reminded me of Chris LeDoux, and that Copenhagen smile. Country must be countrywide. In every state, there's a station playing cash ain't really waiting on, and foreign cars and four-wheel drives. There's cowboys and hillbillies from farm towns to big cities. The rain don't down in my mind. Country must be countrywide. We were raised to give the shirt off our backs to anyone in need. We bow our heads before we eat, before we start our day, before we fall asleep, cause in God we trust and we believe. And we see what's wrong and we know what's right. And no Hank, he said it all when he said country folks can't survive. There's a station playing cash ain't really waiting, and foreign cars and four-wheel drive. There's cowboys and hillbillies from farm towns to big cities. The rain don't down in my mind. Country must be countrywide.
It's 8:30. You're listening to Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. Time now for Strength for Today, a Bible teaching message and ministry from Pastor Doug Vick of the First Baptist Church of Durand.
We want to welcome our WRDN radio audience. We're here at First Baptist of Durand, and we have a special, special guest with us this morning. We have missionary Aaron Simonson, who is on deputation to go to Kenya, Africa. And we've had the joy of listening to him in our adult Sunday school class just a few minutes ago. We've seen his video presentation, very exciting. And now we get to listen to him as he opens the word. So Aaron, if you would please come.
All right, we'll be looking at Luke chapter number 18. I want to turn to Luke chapter number 18 in the Word of God this morning. Luke chapter number 18, and there's a particular phrase that I just want to call your attention to in verse number 8. Verse number 8 of Luke chapter 18, it says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, this is the phrase, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. If any of you parents, you know, you who are parents here, you who are listening, your parents, you know that there's that you know, that nervousness that you have when you leave your kids at home. And you're like, what am I going to find when I come back? What's going to be the condition of my house? What's going to be the condition of my yard? What's going to be the condition of my stuff? And there's just that little bit of, you know, that nervousness that you have as a parent when you go back to your kids. I wonder if there's that nervousness that, you know, maybe that uneasiness that Jesus has in his preparation for coming back, because all the signs are there. Jesus is going to come back very soon.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. His return is there. The signs are there. Read Matthew chapter 24. He told us what was going to happen. The disciples asked, and he gave an answer. But his return is very soon. His return is coming. And so because his return is coming, we need to be ready. And the question that is on his mind as he is going to come back is this question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? And that's foremost on his mind, primarily because without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so faith was on his mind, and he's going to be looking for faith when he comes back on that bright and glorious day. Now, what kind of faith is he looking for? What kind of faith is he looking for? And I want to point out four different kinds of faith. They're all related. They're all interconnected, but I want to point out four of them this morning. And the two of them are general. Two of them are very general, not specifically tied to this passage. But then I want to look at two very important aspects of faith that are found in this passage this morning. So the first kind of faith that I would like to address is salvation faith, or saving faith. When Jesus comes, will he find salvation faith? Will he find believers? Or will he find that the world is lost? Will he find people at large have not accepted him as their personal savior? You know, we can talk about the numbers. We can talk about saved versus lost people in this world. But I want to bring it down, you know, very specifically. I want to, narrow it down to you. I want to narrow it down to those of you who are listening. When he comes, will he find salvation faith in you? When he comes back, when he returns, will he find salvation faith in you? Will you be found as a saved person, or will you be found as a lost person? Will you be counted among the sheep, as Matthew chapter 25 says, or will you be counted as a goat? You know, there's only two camps. There's only two kinds of people in this world. There are those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal savior, and there are those who are lost and are trusting their own good works. They're trusting their church. They're trusting their baptism. They're trusting, you know, their pastor, their priest, whatever. Trusting sacraments, whatever. There's only two kinds of people. There are people that don't care. They say, I don't, you know, really care. After we die, that's it. All right? There's only two kinds of people in this world. And Jesus is going to look for those who are his. When Jesus comes back, he's going to look for those who have trusted him as their savior. He's going to look for those who have accepted this gospel. You know, the Bible says that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin, what we earn for our sin, is death. Death, you know, physically, death spiritually, death eternally. The second death in the lake of fire. Because we have all damaged God's image through our wicked thoughts, because we've all damaged God's image in us, we're made in the image of God, and we have damaged that image in our thoughts, words, and actions. And because we've damaged the image of an eternal God, we deserve an eternal punishment. As long as our eternal souls live, God says that there will be an eternal life sentence for those who disobey him, for those who reject his Son, for those who break God's law. But the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, came down, and he paid the penalty for sin. He died in our place. He took our sins on himself so that we might receive forgiveness, that we might be absolved from that payment that we would have to make if we were to go it ourselves. You can't get away from the eternal sentence that is coming towards you. You can't get away. It's coming. So the option is, you can either face it yourself, which I don't advise, or you can let someone else accept the payment that someone else has made on your behalf. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. And so he's cleared the debt. So the question is, will you receive him today? If you're listening, you're not saved. Maybe you're here. Maybe you're not saved. You haven't trusted Jesus as your personal Savior. You've never had your sins washed away. You're not washed in the blood of the Lamb. You're not among the sheep. Today can be the day of salvation.
Amen.
Today is the day of salvation. You can get that settled, and you can know 100% that you're on your way to heaven, that you're a child of God, that you've been born again, born of the Spirit. And so the question that Jesus asked, will he find self-saving faith on the earth? The second aspect of faith that I want to point out is not from this passage, but abiding faith. Abiding faith. Will Jesus find Christians living by faith in every circumstance of life, continually relying on him as the vine for joy, for peace, for love, for fruit? In John chapter number 15, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without Jesus, our Christian lives will not bring eternal fruit for God. Our Christian lives will not be filled with joy. Our Christian lives will not be filled with peace. Our Christian life will not be filled with love, love for God and love for one another. We have to live by faith. Abiding comes by faith. Abiding is not something that you do. Abiding is something that you rest in. You rest in the person of Jesus and what he is. You're already, as a Christian, if you are saved, you're already a branch attached to the vine. Yeah. You are his branch. You're attached. And so live that out. Trust in him. Depend on him. Receive from the vine. Receive the fullness that the vine has to offer. You know, many Christians are looking for satisfaction. They're looking for fulfillment in life. They're looking for peace. They're looking for joy in, you know, various ways. They're looking they're looking to pleasure. They're looking to the world and saying, I'm just going to live my life. I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm just going to, you know, live it up because, you know, you only live once, as they say. And they're looking for joy. They're looking for happiness through losing yourself, through throwing off restraints. That's not the source of joy. That's not the source of joy. Many Christians today, they look for joy, they look for peace, they look for fruit, they look for satisfaction by keeping a bunch of rules. They say, if I do this, if I do this, you know, if I, you know, wear this, if I dress this way, if I listen to this, then I'll be happy in life. If I follow this set of rules, if I follow these standards, then I will be a happy Christian and God will give me the peace and the joy that I need and I long for. But that's not what Jesus said. And you never find that in the Bible. You never find that the strictest, most, you know, legalistic groups of people experience the joy and peace of God. If you think about the Pharisees, you know, they were the strictest sect. And Jesus called them out more than any other group of people. Because satisfaction, fruit, the abundant Christian life. Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That doesn't come by keeping a set of rules. It comes by faith. It comes by trusting in what Jesus already is. And your position in him. And once you get that down, once you can access that by faith, once God reveals that to your heart, and that light goes on in your heart, that's where fruit comes. That's where fulfillment comes. That's where satisfaction in the Christian life comes. And that's what God is looking for. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, you can write this down. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, it says, now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, when he comes back, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And so the question I want to propose to you this morning, are you abiding in Jesus? Are you just resting in what he is, resting in who he is, not trying to earn the Christian life, not trying to earn abundance, not trying to earn peace, but just resting in what you already are and what he already is? That's the secret to the Christian life. It's by faith. It's by trust. It's by simple dependence. Okay? And so that's what Jesus is looking at. Will he find that kind of faith among Christians? Will he find that kind of faith among those who already trust in him? Will he find that kind of faith in believers' lives? Now, I want to, we talked about the two general applications of faith. Now, I want to narrow down this topic of faith to these particular verses that we're looking at here. Luke chapter number 18 and verse number 8. And I want to talk about the immediate context of this passage. Jesus gave this parable of this lady who apparently had been wronged, and she was seeking for justice. She was seeking for vengeance from this judge, and the judge would not give it to her. But she kept on praying, and she kept on asking, and she kept on seeking for justice. And the judge was like, fine, I give up. She's bothering me. She's annoying me. She's on my case. She's on my nerves. I'm going to take care of her. And notice what it says in verse number 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. And I've entitled this aspect of faith, faith in God's vengeance. Faith in God's vengeance. Will he find, when Jesus comes back, will he find Christians, believers, trusting that he will avenge them of the wrongs that they have experienced by others? Will he find Christians trusting that God is in full control and that he is interested in them, unlike the unjust judge? Will he find Christians believing that God is a God of justice and that he does right wrongs in this world and in the next? Will they find Christians, will Jesus, when Jesus returns, will he find Christians trusting that the word of God, which says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord? And what's the opposite of that? What's the opposite of that kind of faith? The opposite of that kind of faith is Christians taking justice and vengeance into their own hands and saying, I'm going to get back at that person who wronged me. I'm going to get back at that person who ruined my life. I'm going to get back. I'm going to try and mete out justice. I'm going to try and mete out revenge. That's the opposite. That's a life of self-dependence. That's a life that is lacking in faith. All right? And it's so easy in our world to do that because we get wronged all the time. I don't know if you've noticed that. I don't know if you've experienced that. But every one of us faces, you know, wrongs from other people. We're wronged, whether it's in little things, whether it's in big things, whether it's through hurtful actions, whether it's through hurtful words, whether it's through life's disappointments, where maybe you had expectations in life, maybe you had big dreams for your life, and they never happen. And there's that bitterness, there's that resentment, there's that anger that settles in a person's heart. Or maybe someone's hurt you, maybe someone's abused you, and there's that desire in your heart to get back at them. That's common. That's common in our world. And it's common among Christians, sad to say. It's common in churches. You know, I travel around and I ask this question, you know, is there anyone dead or alive that you hold a bit or hold a grudge against? Or maybe I ask in another way, can you think of, and are you certain that there's nobody dead or alive that you have a grudge against? And I ask that question in churches all the time. And it's startling to me how few people are able to raise their hands saying, I can't think of anybody, dead or alive, that I don't have a bitterness or a grudge or a resentment against. Okay? It's probably the most common sin in all the church. And it's killing us. It kills bitter, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14 and 15, bitterness is a root. And the literal word for bitterness is poison. It's a poison. All right, you wouldn't drink poison and expect someone else to fall over dead, but that's what bitterness is. Bitterness is saying, "I'm going to, you know, hold that resentment, hold that grudge, and hope that something bad happens to that person." And that's not the kind of faith that Jesus wants us to have when he comes back. He wants us to walk in forgiveness. He wants us to walk in releasing. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not how I feel good against that person. And forgiveness is a choice to say, I'm going to let God handle that. I'm going to let God be the avenger in his life. As for me, I'm going to pray for grace. I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to love on that person. I'm going to do good to that person. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. and persecute you. Bless them that curse you. Is that the life of, is that characteristic of your life as a Christian, as a believer? Is that characteristic of your life as a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ? Is that the kind of, that takes faith, by the way. It takes faith to say, I'm not going to try and get back to, at that person. I'm not going to try and get revenge. I'm not going to try and cause the same kind of hurt that they caused to me. I'm not going to try and get revenge. I'm going to let God deal with it. I'm going to do them good. I'm going to pray for their prosperity. I'm going to pray for their success. I'm going to pray for good things to happen to them. That takes faith. And I think in the context of this passage, Jesus says, I wonder, when I get back, am I going to find that kind of faith among believers around the world? Or am I going to find Christians angry? Am I going to find Christians bitter? Am I going to find Christians resentful? Am I going to find Christians looking to get revenge? Whether it's that low-grade resentment, that just a little sarcastic remark, or whether it's all out, I'm going to die before I let that person get away with what they did with me. What kind of faith is he going to find? What kind of faith is he going to find in this world? And so, don't let Jesus find you like that in bitterness. Don't let the ruler of the house come back and find you smiting your fellow servants, as he said in the parable. Let Jesus come back, find you your heart full of free from grudges, free from resentment, free from bitterness, free from trying to get revenge. And then finally, the fourth kind of faith I just want to point out to you in this passage is the faith in God in persistent prayer. At the beginning of chapter number 18 of Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." And then he gives the parable of the unjust judge. But at the beginning of the parable, he says, men ought always to pray. And at the end of the parable, he says, will he find faith on the earth? You know, it takes faith to continue praying for something that God doesn't answer right away.
Amen.
It takes faith. And I think that's the primary reason why God does not answer our prayers immediately. He makes us wait. He makes us continue in prayer. He wants to see, how serious are we? How much do we trust him? How long can we go before we start taking things into our own hands? Okay? And Jesus said, I want you guys to learn to persist in prayer. I want you guys to learn always to pray and not to faint. All right. He wants us to be like Jacob, there in the Old Testament. Jacob said to the angel as he was wrestling, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And that's the attitude that Jesus wants us to have. Jesus wants us to have that attitude of saying, I won't let you go. I'm not going to give up on prayer. Whether it's prayer for, a loved one who is unsaved, say, I'm going to keep praying until that person gets saved. George Mueller, a great he was a man of faith back in the 1800s, and he had an orphanage there in England, and he lived by faith, walked by faith, he provided all the needs for all the hundreds and thousands of children merely by prayer. He never asked for any donations. And one of the things that's fascinating to me about his life is that he prayed for people to be saved right up until the day that he died. He never gave up on them. And he said, I know they're going to be saved because I prayed for them. I know they're going to, God's going to answer. And he just kept on praying. And several of his friends, I believe it was, they didn't get saved until after his death. He was in heaven when his prayers were answered. God's looking for that kind of faith among all believers, not just, the exceptional ones, quote unquote, like George Mueller. He's looking for that kind of faith in every one of us, every one of you. Says, I want that kind of faith. Christians, today so easily give up on God, primarily because we live in an age of instant gratification. Amazon Prime, next day delivery, all right? DoorDash, you can have a meal at your, any meal that you want from any restaurant that you want at your doorstep in, half an hour or less. Instant gratification is just a part of our lives here in America. And it's easy to forget that God is not a genie. It's easy to forget that God is not Santa Claus. It's easy to forget that God is not an Amazon Prime driver. God is not bound by anything, by anything or to anything. He's not bound by our schedule. He's not bound by our timetable. Okay? And so he constantly tells us in the Word of God to wait on the Lord. Wait on me. Just wait. Okay? Keep asking. What did Jesus say? Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asks, keeps asking, keeps receiving. Everyone that keeps seeking, keeps finding. And those who keep knocking will keep having the door open to them. And so Jesus wants us to become earnest, persistent prayer warriors. So the question is, are you persistent in praying for the needs of your prayer list? Praying for a spouse, praying for our children, praying for a job, praying for a church, praying for your family and friends and for salvation and growth, praying for revival in your country and across the world, praying for missionaries, praying for laborers, that God would send new laborers into the harvest. Or are there areas maybe in your own personal life, maybe in your family life, maybe in your church's life, where you just kind of given up? And you've lost the faith to persist in prayer. You've just given up because the answer has not yet come. Let me encourage you. Jesus wants to find persistent prayer. He's looking for persistent prayer when he comes back. Do you have that persistence? Do you have that desire to continue in prayer? And so, maybe to these four questions, will he find salvation faith? Will he find abiding faith? Maybe will he find faith in God's vengeance? Will he find faith in faith in persistent prayer? Faith in God's answers? The answer to that question a lot of times is no, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be a no. It could be yes. It could be that Jesus is going to come back and find that you are born again. It could be that Jesus is going to come back and you are abiding in him. You're walking with him. It could be that when Jesus comes back, he will find you, your heart, free of any grudges and any bitterness. It could be that when he comes back, he will find you persistent in prayer. He doesn't have to come back and find you faithless. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's your choice to decide. Am I going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? I can do that today. Am I going to walk in Jesus? And am I going to abide in Jesus? Am I going to walk by faith? And am I going to walk in the Spirit day by day by day, moment by moment by moment, hour by hour? Is Jesus going to find me abiding in him, just resting and enjoying what he is and who he is and what he's already provided for me? Jesus can come back and he can find that your heart is forgiven everybody and that you have no grudges against anybody. That is possible by the grace of God. It might seem unlikely. It might seem impossible to you. It is impossible in your own strength. But Jesus doesn't call us to depend on our own strength to forgive. He calls us to depend on his grace. And so trust God's grace. Trust that God, Jesus forgave his tormentors. He forgave those who crucified him while he was on the cross. With nails in his hands, with nails in his feet, he said, Father, forgive them. And so Jesus has experience in forgiveness, and I think he can share that experience with you. Because I don't think anybody has ever put nails in your hands or feet. And so trust his grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. And if you've slacked off in prayer, maybe you've forgotten, maybe you've given up, renew that desire, renew that habit, renew that prayer list, renew those times of fasting, and let God work, and watch God work, and expect God to work, and let him find you full of faith when he comes, when he returns to this planet. His coming is soon. The signs are there. We're going to see him pretty soon. The question is, when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this challenge. I pray that if anyone here is not yet saved, that they would be saved. I pray that you would just work in hearts, that you would use this message to touch lives, that you would find faith on the earth, that you would find faith in our lives, that you would find faith in these dear people, faith of salvation, faith, abiding faith, faith in God.